Amen. 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 Thank you, Josh. For your reward, you can stay up here and help me with the Q&A. Like 3 weeks in a row, some have asked if we could do another Q&A, and I'm happy to oblige. Happy to oblige. As we do this, I think it could be helpful for us, just like normal, that we would try to really kind of lock in here. So let's put those phones away if we have one, pocket, purse, man purse, fanny pack, whatever you want to call it, okay? What's it called?
Adventure Club bag.
AC bag? Super cool. Okay. You guys, Will's up here too, because he said, you never let me help with Q&A. And I said, come on. Come on, let's do it. So
glad to be here.
Careful what you say. Hey, let's thank Josh one more time for leading our worship this morning. That was awesome. Josh serves. A lot of you know, if you come to Adventure Club or maybe you saw him on a Sunday morning, he helps in children's ministry, helps at our VBS. He is a very gifted musician, but he's also has a desire to be a pastor. So he serves as an associate pastor in children's ministry with me, and not only is really good at like writing VBS songs and leading Adventure Club music, but a good pastor too. So glad to have him with us this morning. Josh, do you know anything about football, soccer? Soccer?
Barely,
football?
Barely.
Football?
Football, American. I don't know, maybe a little bit, barely.
Do you know anything about soccer?
No, not a little bit. A little bit.
Need AJ
I know that they fake it a lot. Like when they get injured, it is dramatic.
Wow, the flops?
AJ. It is dramatic.
Flops are crazy. Is it part of the game?
Soccer players in here.
Is it part of the game? Sheesh.
Wow. I'm going to just send this one out to AJ. AJ, who's better at soccer? I can read the first one. Ronaldo? Messi? Lamine Yamal? Or Pedri? Huh?
Ronaldo.
AJ, our expert in all things soccer.
Well, I could have told you that.
I don't think so. AJ was all state in 4 states, so it's great. Okay, here's another question. Josh or Will or me, what's your favorite place that God created? Wow. Don't go too deep on that one.
I haven't traveled too much, but I don't know, man. I'll be honest with you, dude. That spot that we went to with Steve-O in Montana, and then you could see that trippy black ring around the whole place.
I like that.
Was like, bro. And you guys were saying that the Grand Canyon's even greater than that.
Yeah.
So I guess that'll be the coolest place I've ever seen.
Josh and I visited a guy who graduated from children's ministry. He lives in East Montana, not actually known for its beauty. All of the, like, when you think Montana, mountains, grass, beautiful stuff, like, that's all, like, West Montana. But there are some parts of it that were pretty. Yeah, I agree with you. It was, I think maybe more generally for me, I love an ocean and a beach. That, to me, is just incredible. I grew up in a place where that was far away to go to a beach. So I love being here. I think that's awesome. William, any thoughts? Favorite place?
I prefer the mountains, but I actually had the opportunity to go to New Zealand last year, and New Zealand's really cool. If you've seen Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Rings was filmed in New Zealand, so it's pretty cool.
Nerd alert.
No way. That's awesome. I love Lord of the
Rings.
Dude,
it was really
too.
Cool. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
all kinds of stuff
you guys
about
gotta go.
Lord of the Rings. This, you can't make this up. I'm so glad you're up here, Josh. I think this is actually a really helpful question. Here's what it says. Can I listen to non-Christian music? Just straight up, no other context. Can I listen to non-Christian music. I'm also glad you're up here too, Will. Wasn't like you can't answer. What do you think?
My initial thought is you guys are all living with your mom and dad or grandma, grandpa, maybe something like that. You need to go to them. They're the authority figure in your life. God has placed them in your life in this season to help and shape and guide you. And I'm guessing maybe all your parents or those that watch over you are Christians. So go to them if they're believers, and you have to do what they say. You have to do what mom and dad say. The next thing I would say is maybe there's some of you in here, you don't have a Christian figure in your life. Well, perfect. Come to Pastor Jay. Come to your leaders. They're all around this room. See what they might say. But I know what they're going to do. They're going to point you to Scripture. And you do want to be cautious with non-Christian music because this is a broad question really, because what is non-Christian music? Is it an orchestra? Is it just the rap stuff? Is it the rock? Like what makes it non-Christian?
Is it the rap stuff?
So you have to like kind of figure out what's, you know, but I would say if it's going to have excessive bad words, if it's going to just say stuff that's cut that out, you don't need that. Why would you even want that?
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. That's
a really broad question. And there is a lot of non-Christian music that I think is fine to listen to. But I think the heart of your question is a little bit more the questionable music, secular music that Josh is getting at, quote unquote, the rap stuff. And here's why. I think that's a good question. And what Josh is getting at is music has a way of finding its way into your heart, right? I bet you all have a song you could probably say all of the lyrics to that one song. You've heard it so many times. You can riff those words with just a few notes of that song. I know that because that's still true for me, for songs that I listened to in junior high and high school. And those songs got deep, deep, deep into my heart and my mind. So I think the question is really good. It's certainly applicable to music. It could maybe be a little bit more about like friendship and stuff. 1 Corinthians 15:33, I was just looking that verse up. It says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now, that's usually more about people. But I think some of those songs, if you'll allow me to say it that way, are kind of bad company, right? Some of those songs are bad influences because of the things that the words that they use in the lyrics, because of the message of some of those songs, or maybe just how unhelpful they are in things that are actually really good and helpful. As I said that, I thought of another place in Scripture, Philippians chapter 4. I think it's verse 9 or 10, somewhere in there. And it talks about what to think about. It says to think about what's true and honorable and good and lovely and righteous and excellent. And so what is it that Paul's getting at there? Well, your mind is a really kind of fragile place. And you need to be so careful the kind of stuff that you're putting into it, the kind of things that you're watching or listening to, kind of people you're hanging out with, because they're having an impact on your brain, on your mind, on the things that you're thinking about. And one of my favorite passages in Scripture, Psalm 119, which talks so much about the word, but a great section, verses 9 to 16, that I think every middle school kid should read and think about. But there it talks about how to live in a way that you don't sin against God all the time. How can you live as a Christian in a better way? And for some of you, how can you just even begin to think about that relationship with Christ? Because a lot of you haven't put your faith in the gospel yet. A lot of you aren't Christians. But even here in Psalm 119, there's still some really good advice about what to think about, what to meditate on, what to fill your mind with. There, David writes all about like what he's delighting in. Verse 14, he calls God's word testimonies. He says, "I delight in those as much as all riches." I remember being in junior high school, man, some of my favorite song came on. And I was like, yes, let's go. You know, and you kind of riff the words and it's a delight. Well, you're actually meant to think about God's word like that. And then he says in verse 15, I'll meditate. I'll think about, I'm going to think about it a lot. I'm going to dissect those words. I'm going to think about what your word is saying. I don't want to forget it. He says at the end there. And the thing about Psalms that are so interesting is that a lot of these were actually set to music. So they were meant to be sung. Why? Well, because it had a way of helping not just kids, but adults remember. So they would sing these Psalms to a tune. And just like we do today, that song had an impactful effect on those people's lives. They could remember the words. They could think about what it is that they were meant to really meditate on and think about and memorize and know, so that when they heard a specific tune, they wouldn't, you know, kind of break out into one of their favorite rap songs, but they would actually start to break out into the truth of Scripture, which is the best thing to memorize. But I do think what Josh said at the beginning was really helpful. Your parents are a great guide for you with that. Your parents are going to probably have some non-Christian music that they listen to and that they think is okay. And because it's not like filled with swear words, its message isn't horrible or wicked or evil. It's just a fun song. And you need to know that just like we were talking about soccer a second ago, just like with sports, music is also something that God created for us to enjoy. I am 0% musical. I have no idea how you guys do that, who are. But it's something that God gave some of you a really incredible gift, and he wants you to use that gift and be creative and use it in a way that honors him. So I think there's a way to do that and it not be like a hymn. Or it not be, you know, super clear that it's like a praise song. But I do think those are also really, really helpful. But that's a great question. Hope that's helpful. Do you want to add anything to it?
I just want to read one quick passage. This is an important passage. You guys know what command center is, or like when they launch a spaceship, when they launch NASA or whatever, there's the people that are telling you what to do. Or even if you think of an airport, and there's that big tower, and they're like, blue 22, you're clear to come in. Come in for a landing or whatever. There's that dude.
I love that dude.
This is command center. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. Listen to the wisdom of Solomon. You can hear like the he's begging his sons as he's writing these. He says this, verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence. That's some strong language. He chose to say that. He doesn't just say, guard your heart, son. No, he's like, guard it with everything you have. Guard your heart with all diligence. And then he says, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you perverse mouth. Put away devious lips far from you. Look, let your eyes look directly ahead. And it goes on. But the point is, keep that stuff away. What is the majority of the secular music out there talking about? What is it? How is it talking about? You name it. It's not good, most of it. So just be careful, because you're allowing stuff into command center. You're allowing stuff into your heart, into your mind.
That's good.
So just be very cautious.
Yeah, that's good. Those words there mean double guard. So it's like guard the guards of it. Like it's real important. It's layers and massively protective. Okay, here's another question. I think we're going to get to some stuff here. Have you read Harry Potter? If so, then what is your Patronus? Will? Will, I feel like Will has read every... I'm just taking a guess.
Just because I said Lord of the Rings earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have read Harry Potter.
Do you want to explain to those No, we shouldn't. Let's not waste time on it. What's your Patronus? For those who know.
I don't know. I'd like to say it's a bear.
You wish. There's no way.
Dude, for sure it is.
It's
bro.
Like a little parakeet.
Ah, come on.
What about you, Josh?
I have never read Harry Potter, nor will I.
I'm not against it.
I'm not against it.
It's got to be.
I can't waste my time with that. There's just no way.
You got so much reading for.
I'd just rather read like Lord of the Rings or Hobbit or something that's just awesome. You know, just who wins in a battle, dude? Like the Lord of the Rings character or the Harry Potter characters? Dude, Lord of the Rings all day. Are you kidding me? So I'd rather spend my time reading that. Patronus, I don't even know what that is. It's a special move, right? It's a magic move.
It's basically your animal. What kind of animal are you?
What am I? I don't know.
I think my Patronus, based off my limited Harry Potter knowledge, is like Ryan Bennett.
That's your Patronus,
it's just
Bennett.
Ryan.
Yeah, that's fair.
But a little more angelic. Okay.
If somebody can make art, they need to like animate that, like a 5-second animation of like Pastor Jay doing a wand and like Bennett coming out of his wand. That'd be awesome.
Okay, I get this question. I've gotten this question so many times. I feel like I've answered it before, but it keeps popping up. So I love that you're asking this question. It's this question about Jesus. Did Jesus ever get sick? I don't know why. Some of you are so interested in the healthcare system during Jesus' time. Did Jesus ever get sick? Who thinks Jesus got sick? Show of hands. Yes, you think Jesus sometime in his life had the flu, a fever. Mary made chicken noodle soup. Like she's like, lay down, son. Okay, interesting. You guys want me to handle this? You wanna weigh in on it? Will, you got any thoughts about Jesus' sickness?
I was trying to look for a passage, but
what passage?
That's what I was trying to look for.
Well, what was it about?
Well, I know that.
You mean like a passage?
A passage. Yeah, yeah. A lot of times in the Gospels, we see that Jesus is very much like us in that he's hungry, he's tired.
One on hungry. Matthew 4:2.
Perfect.
He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and it said he was hungry.
Yeah. So he was hungry, so he felt a lot of the things that we feel,
mm-hmm.
and he, was acquainted, he was familiar with the things that we go through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, I can't think of a specific passage where it says that he gets sick, but I would imagine that he probably has felt unwell if he's felt hungry before.
Hmm. Josh?
I don't think he got sick. Well, is sickness a part of the fall? Is sickness a part of the fall? Did Adam and Eve get sick prior to the fall?
Does
getting sick mean that he's not perfect? That's what I would want to wrestle with is does that mean, because scripture is clear, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to leave this one to Pastor Jay, but I'm leaning towards, I don't think he would have gotten sick because that's taking on something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's a great question and it keeps showing up. So hopefully we can put this one to rest. The Bible makes it really clear that Jesus was fully human and also fully God at the same time. Now, that's where that becomes really difficult for us because we don't know what it is to be, we know what it is to be half something and half another thing, but not all the way 100% man, 100% God. That's what makes him God. It's just something that's so far beyond us. Will already started to touch on some of his humanness. He was hungry. In John chapter 4, verse 6, it said he was tired. So he slept, he was emotional, he wept, he cried, he got angry, but in a good, sinless way. He was angry when he went into the temple or like the church and he saw the church leaders doing things that church leaders should not do. They were like selling stuff and trying to make a buck off of God. And Jesus got mad. He flipped those tables over and it was awesome. He should have, because it's not what God's house was for. But here's the answer to your question. The Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say that he got sick. It doesn't say that he didn't get sick. You can hypothesize one way or the other, but here's what you're meant to know is that he was fully human, which mattered because he represents us. So when he goes to the cross, he did what we could not do, which makes his sacrifice for us. It's awesome. But the God and the authors of Scripture, mainly God who controls that, didn't think it was important. There's a lot of places in Scripture, by the way, where there's details you're like, boy, I'd sure like to know more about what happened there. And it's not important. That's not what matters. That's not what's meant to be the focus. But what is there is that Jesus was fully human. You can get into the weeds on some theological stuff, like would Adam and Eve gotten sick in the garden if they never sinned? Was that part of God's master plan? Doesn't seem like it. Especially when you think about Revelation 21 that talks about the new heaven and the new earth. It's going to be an awesome place where there's no more sickness or death or pain or sadness. So seems like that was something that maybe God wanted originally, and he's going to get us back to that. Jesus didn't sin. We know that. It's really clear. And so was getting a fever part of being sinful? Bible doesn't think that that's a very important question. Not that your question's not important, but what is important is that Jesus was fully God and fully man at the same time, okay? Bible doesn't make it clear. So sometimes we just have to be okay with that. When the Bible doesn't give us those details that we'd like to know, it's good to be curious. My advice to you would be give your life to Christ, become a Christian, and when you get to meet Jesus face to face, either when he takes you up to heaven or when you die and you're there, you can ask him. You can say, Jesus, it's so great to see you. Man, I've been wondering this ever since exchange. Did you ever get sick? And he'll be like, of course not. No, I really don't know. He might say yes. Okay, here we go. Another, you guys want a fun question or you want to do another serious one? All about the fun. Of course. So I don't know how to interpret this one. It says, do you like C-H-E-E-S? Now, listen, I'm not sure if you mean chess or cheese. So we're going to do both really fast. Josh, do you like chess?
I don't care for it.
What about cheese?
I like cheese.
Okay. Will, do you like chess?
It's okay.
What about cheese?
It's great.
I feel the same. Chess, not my favorite, not against it, not my favorite, and a huge fan of cheese, okay? Another great question. Favorite hymn. Let's end on you. Will, favorite hymn?
All glory be to Christ.
Great. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, because we sang it every time I was in seminary and we did like a special thing. So that song's deep in my head.
Come Thou Fount.
Come Thou Fount. Why?
I just love that third original verse. The fourth verse we sing around here, it's not a part of the original song, neither here nor there, but the third verse is incredible.
How are we doing on time?
Prone to wander, the author wrote. I love how like human the song is. I feel like that's not something that too many songs kind of hit on, this reality of like, oh, I can't keep doing this by myself. But then there's this, it's simultaneously, it's very psalm-like. It follows up with a confession. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I just love that song.
Great. Thanks, Josh. Music people think differently about music. No, I love it. It's great. Okay. What about this? Is it okay to have a crush on someone who isn't a Christian? That's all the question says. Is it okay to crush on someone who everyone knows doesn't love Jesus. I embellished it a little. You guys want me to go? You're a dad. You're going to have tons of thoughts. Young Will, what do you got?
I will defer to the married men here.
Well, no, let's start here. Will is single, which means, well, hold on. Weird.
Stop.
It is both weird to applaud and awe when I'm like, oh, he's single. Like, applause? Weird. Feeling sorry for him? Also weird. He's going to be just fine. But, Will, would it be, what do you think about if I was like, hey, this is crazy. What if I was like, hey, I know this girl. Like, she's not a Christian at all. But I think you and her would be awesome together. What would be your first thought?
I would say no.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I just think of the way that the Bible talks about marriage as being equally yoked. And that's believer with believer. So
where's that at? Don't tell him.
2 Corinthians 6.
What's it say? Here, I got it.
Of course. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?
Mm-hmm. What's that mean? What's that about? What do you think?
Yeah, so a believer is someone who lives in the light, someone who's been saved by Christ, someone who is spiritually alive. And an unbeliever is someone who's the opposite, someone who's living in darkness and is spiritually dead, still in their sins. And the verse there, very clearly, Paul's saying that there is no connection. You can't be together.
Yep.
You can't be for the same thing because you guys are going in two different directions.
Okay, I'm
going
to pause you. Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, I feel the same way. First, I want to just begin by saying, like, God made you to see things that are beautiful, whether that be like the sunset or the sunrise or a friend. Like, okay, fine. All right, God made me that way. I'm supposed to find a suitable helper, somebody who I can get married to when you're older. So first of all, don't make a big deal of it. If you think somebody's like, oh, she's cool or he's fun and I think they're great, fine, whatever, no big deal. Don't make a big deal of that. But I do think that passage in 2 Corinthians is so important. If you find out, whoa, they don't love the Lord, man, they don't even love church, they don't, well, then why would you even want to hang out with someone like that? Mm-hmm. They view life completely different from you. So I just would be I would stay away from that.
Same. Yeah, so let's just talk really fast about God gave you, which is really good, he gave you a ability to have a crush on someone. That is something that God wanted you to have. And about this age, maybe a touch young, but this is about the time where you're starting to notice the other side of the room, right? Like, whoa, what's happening over there? Listen. And that's good. From the very beginning in Scripture, God intends for a man and a woman to be together. He says to Adam, it's not good that you're alone, dude. Like, you being alone is a bad thing. So God took Adam and he put him asleep and he took out his rib and he made a woman and he gave that woman to Adam to be his wife. So for there to be a crush is the beginning of something that leads to dating, which is meant to lead to marriage. That's the whole point. Our world loves to twist and distort that and make that really weird. Like, have a crush on a bunch of people, date a million people at the same time. Marriage doesn't matter or mean anything. That's what the world wants you to believe. That is the opposite of what God intends for you. God intends for you to desire if you're a girl, to have a husband, and if you're a guy, to have a wife. He always talks about it very positively in Scripture. So that's a good thing. So about this age, it's going to be happening more for the girls than for the boys. Sorry, girls, just where we're at. It's reality. Boys are like, oh, girls are gross. They'll change their mind. Don't worry. But for right now, you're starting to go, oh, I have a crush on someone. So just so you know, that's a good thing. God gave you that thing, but then God gives some parameters. If a crush leads to dating and that leads to marriage, God makes it really clear you want to be around one type of person. If you're a believer, you want to be around another believer. You want to be in that relationship, which is permanent. That's how serious marriage is. It's a covenant that we're going to be together forever, which going back to where I started this morning, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So if you're married to the wrong person, they're going to twist you and turn you. Back in the Old Testament, God warned King David of one very important thing. He really wanted him to guard his heart, especially against women who were not of Israel. And he messed that up, and his son Solomon really messed that up. Solomon had a bunch of wives who were not, I mean, first of all, that's a problem, but we don't have time to go there, but they were not Christians. And what God warned him would happen did happen. They took Solomon's heart, which was facing towards God, and those women's influence on Solomon was to turn it away from God. Bad company corrupts good morals. So it's really serious. So that crush thing, I don't want you to be afraid of it. I don't want you to be like, you know, no, that's crazy. But you need to know crushing on someone who you know isn't following Jesus is a horrible idea. And you need to be quick to tell your heart, like, that's not a good person for me to be attracted to or for me to want to talk to or get to know or to hang out with. Because unless the Lord does a work in their life, that's not going to be somebody that's good for me. And let me end on this. You don't date or be interested in someone who's not a Christian to convert them. That is not a good idea. In fact, you should not do that. We don't date to, you know, somebody called it evangelating. That's not a real thing, evangelizing and dating. Sorry, I shot over your heads a little bit. That's not what we do. So if you're like, I love this person, I'm going to win them to the Lord, and then we're going to get married. Like, horrible, horrible, horrible plan, okay? Horrible plan. You want to find somebody who's already living for the Lord, and then you want to see if that's a good idea. You involve your parents, you involve people who love you, and you help them figure out if that's a good idea, okay? We got time for one more. Okay, how about this? I think this one's kind of fun. You guys won't like it. You'll think it's serious. Is it disrespectful to draw during service?
Somebody wrote that?
Yep, real question. It's right here. Is it disrespectful to draw during service? What do you think? Shh.
Oh, man. I think that... it's hard to answer that because some kids can zone in and lock in while they're drawing. And, but I think I would encourage all of you to, if you can, probably don't, just listen in, take notes. Take notes so that you can lock away what you're hearing even better. Just in case, maybe you can focus while you draw. Maybe some of you can do that. But what if you kind of get in the zone and you kind of zone out and you're just like, focus on this drawing. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait. The sermon's over? Dude, I had no idea what those points were. So I would just caution, like, I don't know, just take notes. Take notes. Focus on the notes more than just doodling.
Okay. Will, you're a big drawer.
I'm a terrible artist. I can't draw anything or sing. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'd ask maybe, like, yeah, what you're drawing, why you're drawing, things like that. Maybe you're drawing, you know, while Busnitz is preaching the scene in the,
or you,
me,
you've preached here.
It's true. I hope you're not drawing me.
Oh, they are. Yeah. I think it's a great question. I would have normally said no, really, really quickly, but I do know a few people who, for whatever reason, their locking in is to actually draw a little bit. But I want to also say, you would never know that they were drawing. So can I sit right here for a second? Will you trade me seats? You can come up here. So
sit down, dude.
You can have a seat. It's okay. But if, like, I'm drawing, you know, and I got Will up here on this stool, and I got me on this stool, and I'm like, ha, 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 look at this. It's so funny. Ah, and I'm like, look at this. Look at this. Ha, 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 ha. Like, that is actually so disrespectful, right? That's so disrespectful. And some of you do it here, and we have some great leaders in the back who afterwards are like, hey, you're super distracting. What are you doing? And you're like, I was not. I wasn't distracting. I was perfectly appropriate, behaved. But you don't realize just how distracting you are. And then you go to big service and you do the same thing. Now, it's usually not with this. It's usually with that phone. And you're doing something on it and you're holding it so high that five rows around you can all see what you're doing. So not only is it disrespectful, which it is, but it's super distracting to everyone around it. You, everyone around you. Can you draw during a sermon? It was a leader who used to be on staff a number of years ago who taught me that the answer to that question is technically yes. She took the best notes. She learned so much from those sermons, but she would draw while she listened. But I only found out because I sat right next to her. She was never distracting with it. She never showed anybody. It was just right here. I'm taking notes. I'm listening. That drawing helped, for whatever reason, a part of her brain just listen. And she took better notes than people who were like sitting in the front row taking notes. So I think the answer technically is yes. But I just want to remind you, be so careful with how you're listening for you and how you're impacting everyone else around you's ability to also listen. If you're doing this and you're showing everybody and you're laughing or you're using your phone to do the same thing, bro, I just 3-starred Clash, check it out. It's so distracting. And that's not what we're here for. Now listen, there's a time and a place for that, okay? There's a time and a place for that. God makes that really clear in his word, that there's also a time and a place for everything. But when we're here to listen to God's word being taught, it's a time and a place for one thing. And you need to try your best to lock in during that one sermon, those 30 minutes, 45 minutes, to learn as much about God's word as you possibly can. This isn't a pat on the back. This isn't about me. This isn't even about Dr. Buznitz who preaches. But guys who stand up here to preach have studied for hours and hours and hours. You can't possibly begin to understand how much work it takes to write a sermon. And you might even be thinking, doesn't look like it. And that's okay, because we're learning and guys are trying to figure out how to preach and how to get better. But they're spending tons of time studying. And the best thing you could do is try to see what you could learn from that sermon. Because that's something, just like that crush you have on someone else, that's something that God too has ordained. He's made it to be this way, that you would come to a church and that you would listen and learn to someone who's gifted with an ability to take this book and explain it to you. That's a gift we don't ask for. Sometimes it's a gift I wish I didn't have. I would rather do something different. But that's what the Lord decided and chose. And so here I am, week after week, week after week, week after week, opening up 1 Kings, trying to explain 2 Kings to you guys so that you can understand what God's word is truly all about. And that really is a joy. But don't distract yourself and don't distract everyone else, okay? So take good notes, draw if you have to, but be respectful. Cool? Okay, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this morning. These questions are great, and I know that they're genuine, and I hope that their answers that we gave are helpful. Grateful for exchange and these students. Thanks for Josh and his time to be here with us this morning, and Will as he studies in seminary. We pray for these guys. Pray for all the students too here with us, Lord, that they continue to think about your word and about all these great questions, Lord, to know that we have answers here because we have your word. Help us to always use that as the answer. God, we ask that today would honor you most, that we'd think about our relationship with you, that we'd listen and learn next hour, and we pray that to your glory. Amen.